Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord.
When I walk through the door of my house, something strange happens. I become a different person. I don't turn into a superhero, but I do behave differently. I'm a bit more grumpy, a bit more selfish, and I am a bit more rude. What about you? Are you a better person at school or at work or at home? Where are you a better person? Now, up here, I've got a bucket and I've got one of my phones. Now, this is my old phone and here is a bucket of water. If any of you dropped my old phone into the water, what would happen next? Benjamin, what would... I don't think I'd be quite be electrocuted, but yeah, if I dropped that into that one, do you think if you, Benjamin, dropped it in there, would I be upset? No, because it's my old phone. But my new phone, if I dropped that into, or no, not if I dropped, if you dropped that into the bucket of water, what would happen next? Well, it would depend where I was. If I was at church, I would be ever so calm. There'd be sort of, it's okay, it's only a phone. If I was at home, and it was one of my children dropped it in the bucket of water, it might be a different story. See, what happens next often depends on where we are. And I think what happens next often shows what is important to us. And if you're following on the sheet, you'll see there's little bits that will take you through this talk. But what does God say? Well, first, we need to remember that God is number one. Let's read these words on the screen together, okay? Here we go. It's on the screen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God must be number one. If you're filling in the gaps, that's what it says. Now, when these words were written, most people believed in lots of gods. And different people supported different gods, a bit like different people supported different football teams today. But the Bible says there is one God. And this one God is extraordinary and amazing, and there is no one like him. Now, can you think of ways that God is amazing? Well, I can think of some of them. This true God made everything out of nothing. When I make stuff, I have to make it out of something else. This true God made you and me. We are here because he made us. This one God keeps us alive every minute of the day. The reason you're still here is because God is keeping you alive. This true God, the one God, humbled King Nebuchadnezzar. The grown-ups saw that last week. This one God has lavished his love on us. He gave his precious son for us, for you and for me. And he's put his spirit inside us to be with us and to mark us out as his. And this one God is going to ask us how we've lived our lives. He's going to hold us to account. So the Bible says there's no one like the real living God. Now hopefully you believe that. Maybe you're still investigating that as you're here today. But if you do believe that there is one God, can I invite you this week to be praying? Because this week is a national week of prayer. In fact, it's international. But can I invite you to come? The church is going to be open. Come and pray for our nation. Pray for our friends. Pray for our local area. Because most people do not give the one true God the honor and the glory that he deserves. Most people do not know God's love for them. Most people do not know what God has done for them. Most people do not know the wonder and joy of knowing God. So there's one God. God must be number one. Second, if you're moving around on the sheet, first love. Now I wonder what the most important thing in your life is. I'm going to show you somebody who was quite important to me for a long time. Here he is. You see him? His name is Difa. Difa dog. There we go, we'll put him there. Sadly, he was feeling jealous for a while because he was no longer my first love. I got married. I've grown out of my soft toy a little bit. My phone is quite important, but I could probably live without it. For some of us, that would almost be impossible. But it would be doable. My wife and my children are very important. But worst came to the worst, yes. You know, it'd be horrible, but I could probably survive without them. Don't quote me on that. I'm looking for somewhere to have lunch today now. But the point is this, if the Lord God was not there, everything would stop. We would not be here. The universe would not be here. We cannot live without God. God is so important. Without him, there would be nothing. But God is also so important because he's so amazing and he's lavished his love on us. He's done so much for us. And in response, we're to do what it says on the screen. So let's read this together at the bottom there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength, soul, and with all your strength. On the sheet, there's some gaps to fill in. The answers are up there. But what it's saying is this, the Lord God is to be our first love. This means the person we love the most, the person most important to us, the person most important to us all the time, with all that we are, whoever we are. So imagine we've just bought a new TV. Our child trips and pours water over it. And if the TV is our first love, at that point we'll probably get angry and shout at the children. If money is our first love, we'll be valuing something by how many pound signs it cost us. And at that moment, the TV that cost us so much will be governing how we respond. But if God is our first love, we will love what he loves. And we'll know it was an accident. I love my child far more than the TV. God loves my child far more than the TV. And therefore, I will respond with gentleness and calmness and compassion and love. After all, it was just an accident. And they were trying to do good by bringing me a drink. Or we get home after a bad day of work or a bad day at school. Now, if we love ourselves the most, perhaps we'll be full of self-pity, we'll be rude and grumpy about our work, and you know, we'll be on the phone texting, I can't believe what they did, you won't believe what this person said to me, I can't, you know, and we'll say it's all the other people's faults, and we'll blame them. But if God is our first love, we will love what he loves, and perhaps be gracious about our colleagues, and a bit more reflective about where was it my fault? What could I have done differently? How can I love these people when their work is so hard? Or the ball comes over the fence again, and again, and again. Tim, you did brilliantly. You can have that dressing room with the star on it. But the ball comes over the fence. If we love our own time and our own space and our own comfort more than God, then we may well get angry and treat somebody badly. But if God is our first love, we will love what God loves. We will respond how God would want us to. There is one God, so let's say this together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So he's saying there's one God, he's to be our first love, one God, first love, and so third, we need many reminders. I've been waiting for so long to get some post-it notes on a sermon. Now all of us are tempted to be different people in different places. You know, we walk through that door and we behave differently. Somebody said the church door has got special powers because you walk in and suddenly everything is fine, and then you walk out again and you continue the arguments that you were carrying on before you got here. You know, we all walk through doors and behave differently, but there is one God, not many gods. There's not a God for home, a God for church, a God for when I'm driving. There is one God over all. He is to be my first love all the time. And therefore what he wants, what matters to him, must be on my heart all the time. His values must be my values wherever I am, in whatever situation I am. Now this is really hard, and so hard that God tells his people to remind themselves. And let's read this together. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You see that? On our hearts, they're to be given to our children, God's values. They're to be on our lips when we walk, when we go to bed, when we drive, when we get up, on our hands, on our heads, on the doors, notice. Now, God's people in the past took this literally and tied them in all sorts of different places. But the point is this: God's values need to be our values all the time. At home, God's values are to be our values. With our parents or children, God's values are to be our values. On the computer, God's values are to be our values. At work, God's values are to be our values. On the PlayStation or games console, God's values are to be our values. In the car, God's values are to be our values. So we need to keep reminding ourselves, there's one God, he is our first love, and here are the things that are important to him. So for example, in our lives, people are more important than possessions. Maybe that's a rule we need to have in our houses. In our homes, the values of honesty, truthfulness, grace, love, forgiveness, justice, respecting our parents are more important than TV or sports or being somewhere on time, perhaps. But to do that, we need to remind ourselves. When we get in the car, this is Jesus' car. What we're doing as a family, we're Jesus' family. When I'm going to bed, when I'm on my phone, I belong to God, I belong to Jesus. Now we've, in our household, found it helpful to have sort of, as it were, two sets of rules. There's God's rules, which are vital and important and are to be followed all the time, God's values. But then there's also our own home values, which are of secondary importance, like take your shoes off if they're muddy, don't draw on the walls, those sort of things. I'm trying to think of other things that we've got in our household, but things that are just practical house stuff, like if the meal is ready, come to eat it. God in the Bible doesn't say that these things have to happen, but in our household, that's how we're going to run a house. But it's very easy, I think, in a household, is for the house rules to be more important than God's rules, to effectively give the impression that the TV and the remote control is more important than truthfulness and honesty and love and compassion and grace. So it's worth thinking through how in my life, in all the different areas of my life, are God's values the important thing, and the things that we think are important are actually the secondary stuff. God's values, our values. So we need to remember, there's one God. He must be number one. He is to be our first love. And then there are many reminders in our lives. Perhaps a post-it note on the windscreen of the car, or something on our phone that just reminds us. Or if there are particular doors that we struggle to go through, when we go to work, how can we remind ourselves as we get to work or as we go to school that God is number one? He's our first love, and we're going to live for his values all the time.